Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. I am Six Eyes, of course, and I'm going to say a beautiful afternoon to you. Hello to our cast. How's everyone doing this afternoon?
Doing great, Six. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful, Wolfgang. Doing wonderful. I have,
a
beautiful cup of
coffee. Nice to see Jim here. Yeah, Jim's on
Jim?
Tonight, too, for this afternoon.
All right, Jim. All right, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. You're going to be ready to get your praise on without leaving the house. I want to say hello to our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries, on this 4th of July weekend. Please be safe. But from the Six Eyes Radio Network, we remind you, we prefer that you leave the fireworks up to the professionals. But if you choose to do so because they've now made fireworks legal in Ohio, please be responsible. If you're going to set off fireworks, make sure you set off fireworks in an open field, not near homes. And please be mindful of the veterans who serve in war, Iraq, Vietnam, et cetera, who may have flashbacks, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, from the loud explosives. So please be mindful of that. We want you to be safe. Have a beautiful 4th of July from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And I hope everybody's in the coffee club. I am. So what about y'all?
All right. And another thing, Six, too, is be mindful when people are setting off fireworks, not to fire them off next to another person, too. I've had some dumb idiots do that to me in
past. Yeah. You're right about that. Just be responsible when you set off fireworks, because, you know, a lot of those fireworks have what they call quick wicks, you know, and you have to be careful. And if you're on the roads traveling, please be mindful of there's millions of travelers on the road, you know, for this 4th of July weekend. Gas prices are still skyrocketing. So just be mindful of all that and have a safe and beautiful 4th of July from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, hello to our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries. Six Eyes Gospel Show, we're here each and every Sunday, 12 noon Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and what would that be? 12 Central. That's right. So we just need an opening prayer, and we're going to get this show started.
All right, and we'll do just that, Six, and also reminding, speaking of the 4th here and the celebrations, come the 7th, this coming Thursday, we're doing a special program for anybody that has vets, whatever, would be appreciated. They join us on this Thursday on the Jumbo Braille program. All right?
Absolutely.
And for this Thursday, we're having a special program designed for Independence Day on this Thursday. So we'd like to invite everybody. Well, Lord Jesus, we'd ask you, Lord Jesus, to take the wheel of this here program, Lord Jesus, as we start another Sunday program, Lord Jesus, and we get our praise on without leaving the house, Lord Jesus. We ask you to take the wheel of this whole program and have your perfect will and way, Lord Jesus, especially in that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them reel the white flag and surrender, saying, I yield, I yield. Knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let this day, Lord Jesus, be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we could rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing. Do pray so, Lord, can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with COVID-19, first off, for the family and friends who've lost someone, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help them continue on with their lives, Lord Jesus, and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help them, Lord Jesus, and bring them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked, rotten, dirty situations, just like, Lord Jesus, that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the radio set or television set, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your precious and wonderful name. Amen and amen. All right, now
amen.
We got our scripture reading. So are you ready for that, Sex?
We are, but we also have to add the Walker family to the list. Now, I don't know if you've been watching the news, but here in Akron, not so far from us, Jalen Walker, 25-year-old, was shot over 90 times. He was a DoorDash delivery driver delivering food. And allegedly, he was delivering food and didn't pull over when the police pulled him over. And allegedly, they said that he shot back at the police, which if he did was not a good thing to do. But nonetheless, he was riddled and shot over 90 times. Now, one bullet is enough, but to be riddled like Swiss cheese, that's just uncalled for. So just sending out comfort, and our thoughts and prayers are with the Walker family at this difficult time from the 6 Hours Radio Network, his family, his friends, and just all the craziness going on in the world, man. Everybody just praying for peace, praying for a healing of the mind, you know, checking in with your mental, because that's what it all starts with. Each day when you arise and the Lord makes you make the woke list, it starts with our mental. And if we don't have our mental, we have nothing. So, amen.
Take six. I just went outside
yes.
of a gentleman that's on the porch with Emily that's homeless. His name is John.
Uh-huh.
He wants to continue in righteousness. He's a Christian. So they asked for prayer, and Emily's not feeling well today.
Okay. Well, we definitely want her to feel better. Amen. Hello?
All right. So are we ready for our scripture reading?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, here we go.
This is Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Know ye not my brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from that law of her husband. Even so then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. And this was Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
All right, Six, we're waiting on you.
All right, Wolfgang, if you can take over and play two songs, and right after the two songs, we will be ready.
All right, I think we can do that.
Unless you want to sing live, Wolf. You want to sing live. It's up to you.
I'm coming.
All right. And if you have any requests of any songs, gospel song you want to hear, just let us know, and we will definitely play it for you. Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house on this beautiful July 3rd, 2022. Happy holidays from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Hey, I got the date right. All right.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's this new coffee I'm drinking.
Yep,
my new Keurig. Love that thing.
Yeah, that's what I need, to try that.
Yeah, well, for coffee. Everybody's invited. I mean, this thing makes, it makes a fresh cup of coffee each and every time. You know how you have like a coffee pot, and for the regular coffee pot, now you have the industrial coffee maker. So that pretty much doesn't have the coffee to have the burnt taste to it. But like the little regular Black & Decker coffee makers that don't have a timer on it, and you sit up and make a pot of coffee. So say you have a cup of coffee at 9 o'clock. Okay, if you leave that pot on, that coffee is being burnt. So you don't want to have burnt coffee. We here at the Six Eyes Radio Network love and prefer a fresh cup of coffee each time. And with my Keurig, that's what I get each and every time, a fresh cup of coffee. Because we are coffee drinkers here at the Six Eyes Radio Network.
All right, well, we got a song here for you.
All right, let's go. Let's boogie.
Let me know. Wow.
I hear
And six, we do have Pastor Bonnet with us. Welcome, sir.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
I can hear you, Pastor Bonnet.
Amen, amen. God bless you. Have y'all called me up?
He is here, everyone. He has arrived. Our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Welcome, sir.
Ah, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm gonna need a upbeat song.
Upbeat song?
Yes, sir. Gospel
All right,
song.
You gonna be- Are you going to be
that was too. That was too slow. no disrespect to anybody at any time. This is the Six Eyes Gospel Show where you get your praise on without leaving the house. You know, that's a, that would have been more of a worship. I need that.
Whoa.
I need that. Praise, I need that praise track that's going to make me pick them up, put them down, pick them up, put them down, clap my hand, tell God, thank you, hallelujah, amen. So, come
well,
on.
Well, I was testing,
that.
What I was doing is I was testing Brother Six to see if he could, if he had his bullfrog legs this morning.
All right.
Because that song has a one of the artists in there was he sings real deep and I was seeing if Six had eaten his frog legs this morning.
Yep, you need a very deep baritone baritone voice there.
You know, because that one guy goes, "Get on board."
Amen.
Got to eat your bullfrog legs.
Yeah, good afternoon, Pastor Bonnet.
Good afternoon. God bless you. Good to hear your voice. I've been asking about you. I hope you're doing very well now.
I'm still not feeling so good, but the Lord's still with me, buddy.
Yes, he is. He is most definitely with you. Amen. 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 You got it fixed? Or do I need to give you a suggestion?
Okay, technology is acting up.
Oh, okay.
I tell you what.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. I don't know if it'll come through. I'm going to see if it'll come through here without any commercials. Can you hear this? Are y'all able to hear this track?
No.
Hello? No, okay, wait a minute. Well, my sister was volunteering to sing, but we're gonna forego that for the moment. that was Donnie McClurkin. And it was a rap melody. I Love Jesus. And hold on. Get off out of here. Amen. Bless
yeah, my Wi-Fi is acting up, too. My Wi-Fi is acting up. I done lost signal.
Yeah. That's all right. Let me do this. To all of those that believe in communion, today is the first Sunday of July. And how can we have independence? God bless you, Sister Nicole. How can we have independence without God? And so we want to remember the things that Christ has done for us. And one of the things that Christ has done for us, and those of you that have your Bibles, you can read this story in the 26th chapter of Matthew, starting at the 17th verse. Again, that is Matthew.
You see what they're saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I got Donnie McClurkin Stand. Is that one? Is that a good one?
That'll work.
Oh, we are victorious.
I wanted his melody.
Okay. Let me see. Can't see this other time. I'll play. We are victorious.
Yeah, you can get up and dance to that.
That's good.
We are victorious.
There you go.
We are victorious. Nothing can conquer us. We are victorious.
Come on. means he makes me win.
Yeah.
So that means...
Yes, we are glorious. That's something to celebrate on. We are glorious in Christ Jesus. That's right. We are glorious in Christ Jesus. This month, our emphasis is going to be dealing with having victory over all mental challenges, having victory in all spiritual battles and challenges. And so we're going to be dealing with mental health. We're going to be dealing with the attack of the enemy, how he comes to try us, to attack our mind, to get us all set. And we're going to put some things in order. But today is July the 3rd. Tomorrow being July the 4th, here in America, we celebrate Independence Day. That Independence Day is a day of celebrating our independence from our previous oppressors, what we call Great Britain, and being set free. Now, on tomorrow's show, my Motivational Monday with yours truly, I'm going to ask the question to those of African descent, colored, in America, to you in your mind, or is there a difference between Juneteenth and the 4th of July? How do you feel about the two? We're going to talk about that on tomorrow night. And so tune in with us as we have that discussion. It's an open discussion. That means the feeling that you have on it is your feeling. So we're not having a judgment conversation, just one of expression to know how you feel about something and what you think of it. Amen. But on today, I want to deal with what it is to truly be free. Independence is about a level of freedom, liberty. But liberty and freedom have a cost. There's a charge to it. It's not just you're free and you can do whatever you want to do. Many kids, when they're, I can't wait till I grow up. I can't wait till I grow up, cause I can do what I want to do. If they only knew. In fact, once you grow up, there's more rules apply to you that applied to you while you were a child. So all of you that's young, hold on. Your time coming. Enjoy your youth while you can. But for the rest of us, there's an obligation, there's a responsibility to those that are in freedom. But what if the law that you are bound by have you tied up? Once upon a time in this grand old country, there were Jim Crow laws and things that had us as a people, and I say us because I am a black American male, and there was a time where we couldn't go in the same door that certain others went in, or couldn't drink from the same fountain that others drunk from. And there were things that kept us bound, even though we were free. America had experienced its independence, but in the midst of that independence, and there was people within that culture that still wasn't free. I want to use a scripture today to show you a similarity. And walk with me with the text, if you would. This text is not to offend, but this text is to liberate. Because you can be free and still bound. Yeah, there's people right now. They're free, but they're bound by drugs and alcohol. They're bound by wrong tradition, harsh tradition, religious belief, so on and so forth. So let's walk through that. In the book of the Bible, one of the books is called Leviticus. Turn that with me to Leviticus. And let's read Leviticus 13, the 13th chapter and verses 45 and 46. And to those that like to, you have your paper Bible and you want to put your finger on the next one, we're going to go to Luke 17. I'll tell you what verse in a moment. So, Luke 17 in the New Testament. And to those of you that have the Old Testament out, that is Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. And the word of the Lord reads, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip." And shall cry, "Unclean, unclean," all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp. That's on the other side, y'all. That's on the outside. Without the camp shall his habitation be. So you're part of a chosen people, a blessed people, but because of an illness, because of a condition, you can't be with the people. And if the people come close to you, you have to identify yourself And if they didn't pay attention to what you was wearing, you had to let them know that you was unclean. Unclean. Speaking of challenges in this world, couldn't be no greater challenge than this one, that afar off, they may think you're just normal, but you had to identify yourself as unclean because you was considered defiled. One of the hardest things to deal with in life is to be ostracized, to be set aside, to be picked out, and unfortunately, many times picked on. And so in a day and time where we have mental illnesses, peer pressure, and the different things that plague our young people today that already separates them. Here is something just because of a plague, something beyond their true control. And I mean true control. They didn't wake up one day and decide they wanted to have leprosy, or one day they didn't want to have leprosy. This was something that chance thrust upon them. And they had leprosy, and leprosy is that disease that will deform the body, cause body parts to fall off. It is an incurable disease, even today. So that person had to, so you think coronavirus was a plague that had people on edge and scared. Can you imagine now that, you know, if you had the coronavirus, your quarantine wasn't in your home. Your quarantine was outside the camp. That means wherever the family was, you couldn't even be in the same home. You had to set up camp outside the camp. That's a hard thing to deal with. Somebody say, but Jesus. Say it again, but Jesus. And what I love about Jesus is if Jesus came to bring correction and life, he said, I have come. He said, think not that I have come to condemn, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus comes and he's on the scene and he's ministering and be a wonderful book to just look at Luke here as he gives us so much concerning Christ. And although we're in chapter 17, it'll be real good to go back to chapter 11 and pick up from there and work your way up to this point. But in chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible reads, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There met him 10 men that was lepers, which stood afar off. So they was honoring the custom. No doubt that they had heard that this man from Galilee, that this man, son of David, this man called Jesus, was healing people everywhere he went. No doubt that they have heard that he was a good teacher. How did they hear? They had to get close enough to the camp to hear the masses talk about him as they passed them by. Nothing worse than seeing people constantly passing you by, overlooking you, having their conversation, going on about their life, and overlooking your trouble, your heartache, your pain. But these ten men had to endure that type of behavior towards them. But nevertheless, they had heard of Jesus. They heard of him, and so they saw him afar off. Verse 13 says, and they lifted up their voices. And this time, their voice lifted up wasn't a cry out, unclean, unclean. You know, that's another way of saying shame, shame. Sin, sin, talking down towards yourself. But this time, when they lifted up their voice, they were able to lift up their voice and call on the name of Jesus. I dare you the next time start talking about your circumstances as if it had some power over you and call on the name that is above every name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Glory, hallelujah. I dare you to stop talking how hard your hardships are and begin to call on the name that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. And so here, these 10 men send Jesus, and they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voice. I mean, they didn't talk softly. In other words, they was not ashamed to call on his name. It's a shame how today that some Christians are ashamed to call on the name of Jesus. We let everybody come out. We gave that community them letters. LGB, whatever, Q community. They can come out and have a Pride Month. But the Christian church is still quiet, and we are supposed to be the most full of pride. Not self-pride. People, there are. Because we've been redeemed. They stood afar off. Verse 13 says, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master. It's one thing to call on Jesus, but is he your master? Is he the one that can tell you what to do, when to do, and how to do it? Or are you still trying to be the master of your own fate? Are you still trying to master your own destiny? They looked upon him and cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We ain't there yet, but it kind of reminds you of the thief on the cross that said, when you come into your paradise, just remember me. Jesus, have mercy on us. Remind you of the man that went to Jesus saying, if you can do anything for my son, have mercy on us. And most definitely, he is able to do more than just have mercy. I thank God for mercy, but I certainly praise him for grace. Because mercy sometimes would just only reduce your sentence. But grace will give you something that you never deserve, that you can't afford to deserve. Grace will cover the bill. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. That's all right. Our grace would do it all. See, mercy takes you so far, but grace finished the race for you. Oh, my God, I thank you right now. Thank you, Lord. Verse 14 says, and when he saw them, He sought them because they called upon him. And sometimes our issue is we're doing a whole lot of stuff, trying to do a whole lot of things, trying to fix this, trying to fix that, but we ain't called on the name of Jesus. And he saw them, and he said unto them, go show thyself unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Luke here, he don't give us the instrument details. But I want to put a pin here just for a brief moment and drop us right here in this scene. And here it is, you're asking Christ to have mercy on you, and he gives a set of instructions. The instruction was no different from that which was already commanded of them, except for this time, the expectation was that he had mercy on them. So he tells them, go show yourself to the priest. We read over in Leviticus that what they had to do. But if we kept reading, we will see that they also had to go to the priest. The priest would diagnose their problem, quarantine them for a time, and if it cleared up on them, he would release them back into the population, and if it didn't, he would not release them, and they would have to stay isolated. And here it is, Christ tells them, follow the law. I know we got a lot of people that a lot of times want to overlook the law and say, we're under grace. But Jesus tells them, he says, follow the law. But he tells them that because he know what he has done within the law. He know what he has provided for them in the law. A lot of times we get sick and we have to go to doctors, and some of us don't want to go to doctors because they think it's a challenging of our faith. But there's no greater praise report than for you to go to the doctor and the thing that was plaguing you is no longer plaguing you because God has healed you. You need to go to the doctor. You need to follow the rules. That's why it's not nothing wrong with those of you that made a conscious decision to go and get the coronavirus vaccination. And you were following a set of rules. There's nothing wrong with those of you that went back and got your booster shot. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Neither are we condemning those that chose not to. If it's that you're standing on your faith that God will keep you pure, that's fine. But God has also gave man authority to help us along the way. So that's not demonize and ostracize doctors and those in the medical profession. And it may seem that at times that some medicine only prolongs the illness, it never heals it, but God is our healer, not the medicine. It is God that gave man wisdom on what to do and how to do. Just like God gave wisdom to the priests of this day and time on what to do, how to do it. Amen, somebody. Because there was more to it than just that. Moving right along. Amen. And so we see in verse 15.
Come on, brother.
And one of them, when he saw, and one of them, there's 10 now, one. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. In other words, healing had them took place. Their obedience, them turning to go to the priest, release their healing. And the problem is, it's not that God haven't been good to some of us. We haven't came back and did what this one man did. It's not that God hasn't given you the money to pay your bills. You went out and bought something new. It's not that God haven't provided for you. You're still spending your money at the casino. Yeah. You're still wishing on a star. Lucky seven. Yeah. It's not that God hasn't provided. It is what you're doing with the provision that he has given. And so this man saw that God had provided for him healing. One of the earliest things that we learned growing up, when somebody do something for you, when somebody gives something to you, they started you out early as you begin to learn how to talk. Even before you can put together sentences, they were teaching you. When somebody said, oh, they so cute, can I give them a piece of candy? And they say, yeah, go ahead and give it to them. And they give you that candy and say, what you say? Tell them thank you. Now tell them thank you. And you'll try to form your little word. Thank you. And you'll smile and you'll open up that candy and put it in your mouth and you'll run on. Here it is that these men was left aside. They were put out, regardless to their economical status in the world. Their disease has separated them from the people. But God spoke into their life, and healing took place, and one, just one, just one. Read the text. Verse 16 says, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, he said, I ain't been verified yet, but I want to tell you thank you. The Bible says here, with a loud voice, he glorified God. In other words, he went back and had praise service. Mm-hmm. So many times God has rescued us, been good to us, but the problem is, have we been good to him? Did we turn and bless his name? Did we share with others the goodness that God has done for us in our lives? Sunday morning we hear preach word. That's wonderful. We go to work Monday. We don't tell nobody about the preach message. Go to work Tuesday. Don't tell nobody about the preach message. And depending on where you are, you have Bible study either that night or the following night. And you go back to work on Thursday and you still tell nobody about the word. You don't give God the glory for the thing that's released into your life to make a change, to put forth healing to your spiritual mind and your physical body. And we don't say thank you. But the scripture says, verse 16, and he fell down on his face. In other words, he wasn't trying to let anything keep him from being prostrated, from stretching out, giving God his all. And he fell down on his face at the feet, at Jesus' feet. He gave him true worship. Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. That depends on how you are taught. Samaritan was considered a mixed breed. Some had inheritance of Hebrew and another race. But they were all taught by prophets of old and teachers renowned that the Messiah was coming. But the Samaritans believed that you can worship God in one place, while the Jews had said you can only worship God in this place. And so there was a division in the belief system. There was a difference in their belief system. But that did not stop these 10 men, because their circumstance brought them together. And it didn't matter whether they were black, white, yellow, red, young, or old. Their situation brought them together where their fate was intertwined, and it had nothing to do with what stock they came from, talking about their family wealth, you know, how rich or how wealthy they were, because they each was under the same bondage called sickness. And this sickness had them but one: turn to glorify God. That's kind of a subtopic. Who are you giving your glory to? Some of us, we get new clothes, we get Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Tommy Hilfiger, all these different things. And when we put these clothes on, we brag about them. Ooh, check me out. I'm slick. See my Louis Vuitton belt? Check out my gold buckle. We're getting Louis Vuitton praise, but we didn't praise the one that gave us the money to buy the Louis Vuitton. We're getting praise to Tommy Hilfiger. We're getting praise to all of these Chloe cologne, perfume. We're getting praise to the world. But when was the last time you realized that you were in a better place than you was yesterday and you gave God praise? Ten was going on following tradition. Yeah. Many people now today, they still follow tradition. But they still have not stopped and turned to give God true praise and true glory. They follow the tradition. They follow the law. They're doing what's socially right. But the truth of the matter is they still have not glorified God because they have not turned to God. God been good to you. He's blessed you. He's blessed you real good. You're living in houses that is twice as big as the houses your parents or your grandparents grew up in. And they had a, and their family size was two and three size bigger than what our family size is today. It seemed like they did more with less than we do with all that we have. Will you stop and turn to glorify God? Will you? Will you? It's a real question. You need to give it a real answer, not to me. You need to answer that for your oneself. Because when you begin to glorify God in the right way, things change in you. They'll do things for you. They'll change for you. Your whole life will turn inside out and just bless you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me keep reading. I've got about three more verses here I want to read. Back up. Verse 17 says, "And Jesus answered and said, were there not ten? Ten. Yeah. And didn't I bless 10 people? I blessed the whole group. And out of the group, only one can turn and say thank you. My Lord, help us today. Verse 17, one more time. And Jesus answered and said, where they're not ten, cleanse. It goes back to let you know why they turned and obeyed Jesus. He healed them all. And notice about the healing, he didn't run down who their daddy is, their mama is, what they were going to do. He just simply healed them. Thank you, Jesus. So with your healing, will you bless us? And Jesus answered and said, glory to God. Verse 18, and there was not found that entered to give glory to God, save this stranger. The one that y'all say ain't right. I know that's broken English, but it fits. The one that y'all say can't get right, ain't right, won't be right, that's the one that came back and said, thank you. That's the one that came back and said, ooh-wee, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19 reads, y'all stay with me? Amen. Verse 19 reads, and he said unto him, arise, go.
Thy way.
He said unto him, arise, go thy way. And that's what I want to say to somebody today that's going through some hard times. I want to say when you turn and trust God with your difficult moments, your difficult time, your times that separate you from the pack, your times that make you feel unclean. I want you to know that as you follow the rule, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as you go through your quote-unquote tradition, as God heal you, testify. As God deliver you, testify. As God gives you new meaning and new hope in life, testify. Let somebody know that you didn't have it all together, that he had to work on you, and that he was still working on you. He wasn't quite finished. Somebody, how good God truly is. My Lord. So verse 19 again says, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith, thy what? Not your religion, not your church affiliation, not the money you have in the bank, nor the doctor or the medicine that you're taking, but your faith. Thy faith has made thee whole. Not half, not two-thirds, but whole. Thy faith has made you whole. You're whole now because of your faith. Your faith. Where is your faith today? Let's lay it on the altar. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. I wish that was so true, but oftentimes we are blinded by sight. The Bible says that in the book of Genesis that Satan tempted Eve, and when she saw, she'd been seeing that same fruit tree all this time, but all of a sudden, because she was listening to the wrong influence, she began to see that fruit tree in a whole new light. She began to look at it as one that can make her wise. My Lord, help today. So verse 19, arise. I'm speaking that by faith. I'm speaking it prophetically to someone who's listening. Arise. Go your way. Not the way of everybody, but the way that God say do it. How do you know God say do it? Because it's bigger than you. It's going to take more than you to accomplish it. Because if you could have did it, he ain't had to talk to you. He could have just let you did it. Thank you, Jesus. You must go your way and allow God to be the difference. Allow God to be the difference. Go away. Allow God to be the difference. One more verse. We must read this. And that's, we're going to find this text in John chapter 8, verse 36. St. John chapter 8, verse 36. Text deals with how God put things, how Christ began to put things in order and make clear his purpose. And so he gets here on this in verse 31, he tells us, then say Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if conditional, if you continue in my word. Notice, it don't say words, because there's no division in God. God's word is what it is. He don't have two separate words for you. He have a word for you. He have a word that's just for you. And so he says to them, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Glory to God. Verse 36 says, excuse me. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And my point of 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, the Son is the heir. Jesus is the heir. If the Son, therefore, make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son make you free, whomever you are, then you should be free indeed. You ain't got to worry about nothing else. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. If the Son sets you free, do you feel bound right now? That's what happens when you allow people to set you free. When you allow people to set your course of action, what you can do, what you can't do. It's so amazing to me that out of 12 men that believe in Jesus, only one literally said, Lord, if it be you, tell me to come. It's amazing to me that Peter is the only one. He's the only one to have stepped out of the box going. And doing so, he changed everything forever. You don't have to worry about being in bondage. He made it so. If you desire to be free, you can. Glory. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. I want you to take time and think about why you do what you do. And when you do what you do, can you, do you give God the glory? In other words, do you stop and tell God, thank you? God has allowed me to have this wonderful business. And since I've been on the phone with you all, I've had several calls come through from clients. And I just had to call you back later. Because they probably want something done for the four. But when you give what you have to God, little become much when you put it in his hand. That boy that had those two little fishes and five loaves of bread, he pondered in himself, why these men want my food? And what can my food do among so many? But the act of faith allowed him to take his little, give it to a child. And a miracle transformed. Now, in the eyesight of God, we're children. And watch him make the difference for you. Watch God make the difference. Put your trust, put your faith in him and him alone. And he, God, will make the difference. Hey, I love you with the love of Christ. This is our independence. Let us not do what Adam and Eve did. In the garden, they declared an independence. Yeah, they declared it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that the serpent was more subtle than any other creature of the field. And he began to question Eve about her relationship with God, as to what God has said to do and not to do. I say it all the time, Sunday school, if you don't know your Bible, you need Sunday school. And if you do know your Bible, Sunday school needs you. We should have a drive to teach others about the goodness of God and the greatness of our King. And we need to talk about him in such a way that it is inviting, pleasing, and enticing to others on the outside. Why? Because Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen to any born again individual. He paid it all. The wages of sin was death, and he died on my account. And because he had a perfect soul, the Bible said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's one of those great mysteries. We don't have time to get in it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. So the very essence of who we are, not these cells and blood vessels, organs and tissues, but the very essence of who we are, our being, our personality, our thought process. Glory to God. So at this time, I'm going to stop right here because there's so much more to really add to this. I think it's a safe spot to stop and to ask you the question. After Adam had sinned, he realized his sin, his error, and things that he did not see. He never saw his own nakedness. Now his nakedness became shameful. And he tried to cover it himself. The Bible said that God made them aprons. Stop trying to cover your sin yourself and allow God to cover it, because he know how to remove it. He know how to bring it down. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Bonnie, for that very powerful message. This is the Six Eyes Gospel Show. We're here each and every Sunday, 12 Central, 1 Pacific, 10 Eastern. That's 10 Central, 1 Eastern, and 10 Pacific, where you get to praise them without leaving the
there
house.
You go.
Telephone number. Thank you. Telephone number to the Six Eyes Radio Network. It's 424-243-9617. Put that in your phone. The Six Eyes Radio Network number, once again, is 424-243-9617. Like us on iHeartRadio, just simply type in Six Eyes Radio in the search. Same for Apple, type in Six Eyes Radio in the search. And in both cases, press subscribe, and you'll have the Six Eyes Radio Network on demand. Now, tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, and 6 Pacific, join us for our very own Motivational Monday with our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, where you get the week started off right with Motivational Monday. Now, that number is in your phone, so I'm not going to tell you again. So we'll catch you on the show tomorrow. Now, I have a question for you. So this is all we're guessing, but I would like to know, what do you think life would be without, if they didn't sin and eat the forbidden fruit? How do you think it would be for us?
Oh, wow. It's there. It's written for us. If you go back and read chapter 2, you'll see that in the garden, and the garden was, by every mean of the definition, paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Paradise. In the garden, there were every type of fruit to be desired. So regardless of whatever your taste buds was, there was a fruit for you.
Okay.
Something to sustain you and keep you, so there would be no hunger. There would be no hunger going on. No, none of that. That starving babies, all that. In the garden, there was more than enough to go around. And if by chance sickness had touched our body, there was healing herbs in the garden for every amount of disease. Could you imagine the day that COVID showed up was the day that COVID left? Not 2.5 years later, we're still dealing with it. Another strain of it. Fourth or fifth generation. So we would have had that peace. And no incest. No rape, no murder, no crime. Because if we all have what we need, then we're working together, providing what our community needs as a people. So there will be no advantage of sin to mislead us from the presence of God. And here's one more important thing. The Bible says that, Bible teaches that Adam fellowship with God daily, not just the Sabbath, to all my those that hung up on the Sabbath. No, Adam communed with God every single day. He had a relationship with God, and he had total dominion. That means all the lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, wouldn't be no oh my, because they would have been under our control. So you can't imagine going hiking and don't have to worry about the grizzly eating you. No, you didn't have, you wouldn't have to worry about that. You wouldn't have to worry about snakes biting you. Matter of fact, because we had power over every creeping thing, we could be in the garden. We didn't need off. So the spray, as good as it is, we wouldn't have needed, because we would have already had we would already had control to tell the mosquitoes to stop biting. So yeah. So we would have had so much in common. It's just been wonderful.
Wow.
Hello. Okay. I got a question.
All right.
Okay. I wondered how, when Adam and Eve started their family, and they had their children, and then when their children got grown and started their families, where did the other people come from? Or are we all of incest through that situation?
Because it takes two to start.
Right.
It had to divide. And then the divide had to divide. And the divide had to divide the divide. Until there was enough where there was no need to keep dividing, because the separation would have already been done. Many people use that to kind of justify a second race in creation. You said, hold on, okay. Something going on with the sound. It's echoing.
Oh.
So, if you go back and read the genealogy, it gives it. It tells you who impregnated who. and you go from there. And you just go from there.
I got it. Thank you.
Okay. I try to answer it without being so long with it. Excuse me.
I got it. I understand.
Or graph it. Because I was hungry and I might get too graphic. You know, when you get hungry and you're ready to eat, you're tired. You know, I've been up since the wee hours of the morning. this is my third service. So.
Amen. So let's go ahead and get this program wrapped up if everyone is in agreement. So Pastor Bonnet can go eat, and Charles can go make coffee.
We never had our communion. Right. Got to eat that pretzel and drink our juice.
Yeah. So now, once again, and thank you, Brother Six. Let us break bread together. I love reading the text to you because, number one, we need to understand what took place. Number two, it's just very important to know that none of this stuff just happened. It was all part of God's plan for you and I, and he saw it. And even in the midst, I mean, here's the thing. Jesus knew that this was his last meal. And how many of us would have done all that he done knowing that this is your last meal? We call this the Lord's Supper, when he had one last dinner with them. He turned around and girded himself as a servant, a slave, and he went with a basin pitcher and basically a tub and washed each one of their feet. I mean, he poured water on their feet to wash the dust from the street off of their feet. And had a towel to dry it. So he ain't just pulled the water. He was involved because he had to dry the feet. I mean, he had to touch the feet. So we have a God that loves us enough to touch us. Somebody should have got happy right there. Amen. And then he tells us that if we're to be great, we need to do the same, and that is serve all. So, yes, I'm the preacher, but I'm not here for you to serve me. I'm here to serve you. That's a message all by itself. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on because that'll preach all by itself. Yes, sir.
Not now. I know you say you're tired, but two quick questions. And while I get everybody on the line.
Come on with it.
Okay.
Come on with it.
And everybody on the line, I want you to press the one and participate. Okay, so there was a video going around where a father brought his son a hamburger, fry, and drink. Now, apparently the woman was in communication with the father to tell the father that his son was hungry. But the lady has three kids, so he only showed up with the burger and fry and drink for his son. Now, in the past, he would bring the other three burgers and fries and drink as well. And this time he didn't, so I don't know if they got into an argument or not. But nonetheless, they got into a big argument, and the woman threw the food in the street. So I want to know what do you think about that, and what would you have done in that situation? And everybody, I want everybody to answer, no particular order, but I just want to know.
Well, what I would have done was a true parent, and I say true parent, let me change that word from true to a good parent, a responsible parent, would have said, son, you're going to have to share with your brothers or your sisters, whichever the siblings was. That was an opportunity for that mother to show to teach that child how to share, even when there's a little. It was a disgrace and a shame, and it is something that has plagued the black community in America tremendously, that just because you have it, if I can't have it, I don't want you to have it. And that's the message she sent out, unknowing. And that is what's destroying our community, when we're supposed to be glad when you have it. Because if you have it, that's a possibility for me to also have it. So she missed a golden opportunity. The whole system of parenting, fatherhood, motherhood, is the opportunity to cultivate greatness. And it is our responsibility as parents to teach the next generation how to keep building on what we have built. But when you haven't built nothing, how can you teach others to stand? And so the shame is all on the mother. Because irregardless, to even if he knew, and for whatever reason, he maliciously just fed his child because the other two wasn't his, she still had a golden opportunity to teach her son how to look out for his other sibling, to teach him how to give, even if it hurt. Shameful display to throw away, to waste food. She disrespected the food. She disrespected God who financed the food. She disrespected the boy's father. And she disrespected her son.
Yeah. It was just a crazy situation, and that's why, you know, why I got everybody on the line. So everybody, press the one and talk to us here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Wolfgang, Nikhil, who else do we have on the line with us? Press the one, say hello. Talk to me.
I guess they were waiting
hello?
On communion.
Okay,
they,
can you hear me?
Can you hear you
yes,
now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I agree with Pastor Bonnet. That was a teachable moment, and I think that the parent, both parents kind of didn't give a good example for the children. And I say that because I don't know the reason why the father only bought food for his child and not the others when he's been doing it in the past. I don't know the reason behind that, whether maybe he didn't have the money or whatever. But if you've been doing that from the past and treating all the children, which I think you just don't want to leave a child out. They're innocent. But then with the mother just throwing the food away, wasn't a good example to the children either, especially if the children are hungry. So my take on it is if both parents didn't act responsibly in how they did things, if he could not afford to feed the other children, then maybe he could have got something that every one of them could share, you know, enough so that they wouldn't be hungry. Even if it's a bag of beans, you know what I'm saying, or the noodles. But yeah, like I said, I wouldn't have the heart to feed one child, my child, and not the other children that's around in front of them like that. That's not cool. And you know that these other children are hungry. regardless of if there was an issue with the mother, I just felt like he should not have probably done that. And, yeah, you want to take care of your child, but if you haven't been, if you've been doing it all along, giving to the other children, then don't stop. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Wolfgang, Emily, anybody else? Preston one. Any other time you guys are talking, so let's talk.
I mean,
well, I'm in agreement with Pastor Bonnet and Nikhil, so that's all I have to say is just that they both hit it on the head.
I would also like to add, if I may add, I know there's others, their opportunity to speak. I'd like I also add this. For us being observant from the outside, without true context, we don't know the communication. The only judgment I gave was the action against the food. The action against the food, irregardless to how, if it's not poisonous, it would be wrong to throw food out. That's a bad example, period, irregardless to how it came about. And a teachable moment there was an opportunity to teach them how to share a little, even though it would have been hard, but it's been done before. Because, again, we don't know the conversation. We don't know if he thought they wasn't going to be there. And we don't know if we don't know any other previous conversation as if she told him, you ain't got to do nothing for my other kid, blah, blah, blah. We don't know what led to that moment. Would have been wise on his part if he arrived somewhere and realized the other kids was there to say, give me a moment, and talked to his son and went back and purchased more, or took his son and said, I need you to eat this now so that you don't offend nobody else. So there was a teachable moment all the way around. But again, because we don't have all the context of the story, my judgment is on an action of throwing away food in the presence of the kids that are hungry. Mm-hmm.
That's wrong.
That is.
Any kind of way you look at it. Regardless of how it unfolded, to throw away food that's in front, when there are people starving, that's a disrespect.
Yeah.
Period.
And then it sets up for later in life to where, because obviously he has stepbrothers and sisters. And that sets up a divide with them when they get older, because kids don't forget, you know. So that might set a bad relationship between them, and the kid didn't even have nothing to do with it. So that might be a problem later on.
It could draw them. They probably thinking they got some craziest parents. They probably thinking, man, my mama's stupid. Why'd she throw the food? You know, they think my dad crazy. I don't know why he didn't. You know, we don't know. We have missing information. You know, the boy could have said, "Dad, you know my siblings are. I don't care nothing about them, Dad." You know, he probably told him. We don't know that.
Right.
So I can't make a call on his motive, or his doing, good or bad. I can only judge the action that was visible by all, and that's the throwing away of food while you had three hungry kids. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they could have shared it.
And even the dog is
trying to come.
They could share. Tipper, tell them if you can share with your food with the cat, they can share their food.
Right on. Once again, we want to thank everybody who joined us here, who's going to listen to the show later on. We're not going anywhere. Just want to thank the listeners. Just want to thank the listeners around the city and space, faraway countries, everybody on the line, everybody that's going to listen to this show later on. We do thank you.
Now, again, Matthew chapter 26, verse 17 says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master said, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread. I just want you to have a saltine cracker, a wafer, an oyster cracker, something to represent bread, to represent the broken part of Jesus' body. The Bible said that he is the bread of life. And so that bread represents him as being our living word, the bread. And he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave to his disciples. And he said, take, eat. This is my body. And the disciples, and he took the cup and he gave thanks. He didn't pray. He didn't have to pray over it. He gave thanks for it. Look at this illustration. He's thanking God. And everything was already set up. Everything was already blessed. So now he's thanking God. He thanked God for this drink. And he gave thanks. He took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament. The New Testament. And that's why we have the New Testament, because he started something new for us. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sin. My blood is shed for the remission of sin. His blood was shed for our payment. Let's not be confused. It was his blood that was for us. For the remission of sin. He said, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's a literal, physical kingdom. Not the spiritual aspect which we operate in today, but the literal, physical. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So I hope you took that bread and you gave thanks and you ate it knowing that you was consuming the word of God. And then you took that cup, which represents his blood that was shed. And like having a, if you had a blood disease and they say you need a blood transfusion, something to be added to your blood, that your blood would now have new life. And that's what he has done, his redemption done for us.
Nah.
It has offered us new life. And so as you drink that juice, you're receiving new life into your physical body. Because what he does for us is a physical thing, not just a spiritual thing. And they sung that song, what they sung. But over here we say, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood.
It was the
for
blood
for me.
Me.
One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross.
On the cross.
I know
it
was
the
blood
for
me.
Me.
Amen. God bless you. And God
keep
you.
We got an album in the making. We got an album in the making. Ken and Ken. Stay tuned.
All right. We're going to do the Bloodhound of Scripture today?
Yep, and we're out of here.
All right, then here we go. Let's see if you guys know where this one was.
And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all.
Ooh, a good verse on tithing. And we'll hear that a second time.
And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all.
Ooh, so who did
Man.
This? That's the big question.
Abram.
That will give you a clue
Abram
as to where
that.
To find it. So we'll hear it one last time
Abram.
For our listeners' sake.
And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all.
Amen. Amen. That person that was speaking was another high priest speaking to Abraham. Abram. Male Kelsey.
Genesis 14 and 20.
Yep.
That is correct.
It's a coming. It's a coming. Let me get back to it.
Ming, 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 ming.
Oh, my goodness.
Good job.
Thank you. I'm trying to get back to me. I just lost my page here, and I had it all.
That's all right. That's why I don't even look at the board on Sunday no more. It acts up over too much. I'm not even looking at it.
No, I was trying to look up the quote, and I had the Bloodhound up, but I'm operating on my phone since my computer is on the brink for me.
It's acting like the devil don't want to cooperate, just brain trouble.
Yeah, the screen doesn't want to come on, so I don't know. I guess.
Well, that's all right. We'll move on to the one for next week. Here we go.
I got it. Wrong one. Well, go ahead, because it's not coming. Go ahead. We'll just skip it this week. We're going to skip it.
Said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Ooh, very good information as to where we should be getting our nourishment. Amen. So we'll hear that again.
But he answered and said,
amen.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Well, just for a thought, many may not need to live on bread alone, but, hey, some do get by on crust. All right, and we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yeah.
And there you have it. That's what we got to look up for next week. So that'll be the fun, figuring out where it is. Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to wish all of you a happy Independence Day. I pray all is well with you and yours. Last week we took off, but Missionary Ken held the reins. We may have abbreviated program on tomorrow, being that it is Independence Day. But nevertheless, the gospel must always continue to go forth. And so we want to always be there to encourage you and to be a blessing to you and yours. So to all of you, God's people, whether you're in this country or amongst the other so many that we are part of your listening station now, we want to say thank you for tuning in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. I am Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. It has been my pleasure to have ministered to you today the word of life from Brother Six and Missionary Ken and all the rest of the wonderful people that make up the 6-5 Radio Network. We want to say we love you with the love of Christ. Spread the love everywhere you go. God bless you. God keep you.
All right.
Now, by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with each of us here, now, and forevermore. Amen. We're dismissed.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.